We read from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3. We read verses 1 to 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the righteousness from the dead. Amen. May God bless the reading and later the preaching of his word to us all this day. I'd ask you to turn, please, to Philippians chapter 3, to the verses which we read a few moments ago at the beginning of the chapter. I was ordained as a minister of the Gospel of Christ on the 3rd of October 1968, 43 years ago, next week. And since then, especially during the last 25 years, I have preached in many, many places, and quite a few different countries. I must have been over to the United States 70 or 80 times. And most of these places I have enjoyed. And I've loved meeting the people of God in so many churches. But if the Lord were to ask me to choose one place on earth in which to preach, it would be here. It would be here. This is where I most enjoy being and most delight God, thank God. And I hope and pray that if it's God's will, he'll allow me to preach to you many times in the future. But today is my last day as your appointed minister. 37 years ago next month since I began among you. What should I preach on? Many, many possibilities I wrestled over. Good passages. wonderful texts, striking subjects, truths which concern us specially. And I thought for a long time, but eventually for this morning, I want to take a few words from the middle of Philippians 3, verse 8. Philippians 3, verse 8. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I'm going to take the words out of context. Don't often do that. Paul here is turning away from the empty religious position of Judaism. He says, I count everything as loss because of the wonderful knowledge of Christ. But I'm not going to look at that in detail. Today I just want to take these words out and look simply as these speaking to us of the most important thing that any of us can have in our lives, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And if I have just one thing to say to you this morning, that's what I want to say. This is what I desire above all, to be within you, that you may know Him, your Lord. If it's not true of you, this is the only subject worth talking about. There'll be no point in preaching to you about anything else. And if it is true of us, everything else good will come to us as we live. And friends, as I come to an end as your official pastor, I want to encourage you and myself to this, knowing Christ Jesus. Any ministry which ignores this is a waste of time. Any ministry which encourages this is of real worth. It's described as surpassing worth. Nothing else in the universe is as valuable for us. And today, I want to remind you, to urge you, to build your lives around this, knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I want to suggest four reasons why knowing Christ is of surpassing worth. In the first place, because of who Christ Jesus is. Because of who Christ Jesus is. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And friends, you know, He is by far the greatest, the most wonderful being ever seen on this earth in all of history. He is utterly superior to anything and to everyone in all creation throughout time, past, present, and future. Christ Jesus above everything, to know who He is. He's God. He's God Himself, this man. The second person in the Trinity, everlasting, divine, Son of God the Father. John says at the beginning of his Gospel, the Word, and he means Jesus Christ, the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. To know Him. Imagine. He's the God who created the whole universe. You and me, And everyone and everything and every atom there has ever been in the whole universe, He created them. All things, John goes on to say, were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. To know Him. Think about it. Imagine it. He's the God who is infinite and perfect in Himself, in all that He is. He knows all things. He is infinitely wise. He is completely truthful. Christ Jesus is good, and loving, and gracious, and merciful, and patient, and long-suffering. Christ Jesus is holy, and righteous, and sovereign. He's the glorious God. To know Him. And Christ Jesus is also the most glorious human being. He's the Son of God the Father and Mary of Galilee. His Father in heaven and His Mother on earth. Think of it. Two natures together. Answer 21 of the Shorter Catechism says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. One person. One human being. Always perfect. He never sinned once in His life. He kept God's law always. He was limitless and outstanding in all human gifts and abilities. There never has been a human being remotely like Christ Jesus. He returned to heaven. That human being has been there ever since and will be there through all eternity. He is the most wonderful being there is. He's God. He created the universe. He's infinite and perfect in His whole self. He's a glorious human being, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. My dear friends, to think of knowing this great being. He is more wonderful than anyone else. And the Bible and prayer now teach us about Jesus Christ. And this is what we should long for and aim at and enjoy forever and ever. Surpassing worth, who Christ Jesus is. But then here's the second reason. Because of what Christ Jesus did for us. That's another reason for knowing. Because of what Christ Jesus did for us. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He came to earth not simply to show off, not simply to show Himself to us so that we could look at Him and admire Him and say, He's great, He's wonderful. He wasn't like a pop star or a film star or a modern politician coming out into the front and everybody claps and admires him, then he goes away again. No, no, no. It is far, far more wonderful. He came to earth for us. He came to earth to save his people from their sins. You remember the angel to the shepherds in Luke 2:11, speaking to them. He says to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's who he is. He's the Savior. That's a great reason, isn't it? The Savior. The only Savior. The surpassing worth of knowing him. He kept God's law perfectly on behalf of his people. Every commandment, down to the smallest. And when we trust in him, that perfect obedience is counted before God as yours and mine. His obedience is in God's book as your obedience. That's what you did if you're a Christian. That's how you behaved. That's how he regards you. In Romans 3:22, Paul speaks of the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Amazing. The righteousness of God is given, is counted as all who believe. But perhaps even more amazing than that, he not only kept the law perfectly, but he took upon himself all the sins of all his people. Yours and mine. On the cross at Calvary, he was supremely punished in our place for all our sins. You remember at the table, shortly before his death, Matthew 26:27. He gives the disciples the cup. He says, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I'm dying that you may be forgiven." That's the great purpose of the cross of Christ. Christ died, says Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. Surpassing worth. Most of us here know this from Christian experience. And I have to ask you today, are you sure that you know it? I haven't any person in this building in my mind. But I know that in some in churches are people who live all their lives in the church. They go to the church. They're members of the church. They're regular in the church. They perhaps think that their sins are forgiven. They say that. But they've never been converted. They've never been changed by God. Could it be possible that that is true of you? I want you to think about it. And pray about it. And if you've any doubt, come to God through Christ. And perhaps you know that you're not yet saved. Yes, there are people brought up in the churches and they resist the gospel for many reasons. And we love them. And we pray for them. And we remember them. And we desire with all our hearts that they will be converted. My friends, continue to do that. If there's somebody connected in our church that you think of and you wonder, are they a Christian? Pray for them. Pray for them every day that God will save them. If you're such a person today, will you come today? Could I say something to the young people and to the boys and girls, even the little boys and girls? Boys and girls, your mummy, daddy are Christians. They're Christians. I don't know yet whether you're Christians or not. Some of you may be Christians. Some boys and girls become Christians when they're very, very young. And if some of you are Christians, I'm delighted. Maybe I'll hear someday. Others of you boys and girls, others of you young people, perhaps you're not yet Christians. You've come to church. You've come every week with your parents. But you haven't reached that point where you commit yourself to Christ for His salvation. But I say to you boys and girls, even the little ones, God could save you today. If you asked Him to bring you to Him through Jesus, it would be a wonderful day for your daddy and mommy. And for Mrs. Donnelly and me, it would be one of the happiest days of our life. I haven't said to Mrs. Donnelly, but I think the congregation are going to give me a present. Don't know what it is. If it was a big box of chocolate, that would be great. Boys and girls, young people, it would be a far, far bigger present for Mrs. Donnelly and me to hear that some of you have become Christians even today. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And then the third reason. Because of what Christ Jesus is doing for us. We've been thinking of because of what Christ Jesus did for us. But now we move to the present and we think of because of what Christ Jesus is doing for us. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's not simply the Savior of 2,000 years ago. He's not simply vital for eternity in the future. He's important today, continuing with Him from day to day in all of our lives on earth. One commentator, and I'm not taking you into this would be a whole series, but one commentator I looked at earlier this week says that in these verses you have, as it were, a complete picture of the work of Christ. Let me just give it to you very, very quickly. Verse 8, repentance. Of all things, I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, justification. Not having righteousness of my own, but one that comes through faith in Christ. Verse 10, sanctification. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And verse 11, glorification. That by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. That'd be a good series, wouldn't it? Very, very reasonable by the commentator. I forget who it was. A very reasonable study of the passage. But we're looking at point three here. Sanctification. Sanctification. An important part of our lives is the present. We thank God for the past. We look forward to the future. But today and tomorrow, we need Christ Jesus here and now. And isn't that seen in our prayers? So often, we're praying for today and tomorrow. And we have Him. We have Him. He is with us. And that is wonderful. Wonderful. The present knowledge. The present knowledge. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He forgives us for our sins. When you go to Him today and confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you, He'll forgive you then and there. And today, you will know forgiveness. He develops us as Christians more and more every day, working in us. He guides us in decisions. Maybe you'll have hard decisions to make this week. Maybe you'll have things which are very difficult. You're not sure what you should do. You say to yourself, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He'd help me. He protects us against our enemies, things and people that could hurt and damage us. He sustains us in trouble, and He comforts us in our grief. And when trouble comes to you, when grief comes to you, say to yourself, Christ Jesus, my Lord. I know Him. He will help me. He will comfort me. He will sustain me. He strengthens us in our weakness. When temptation comes, or we feel beaten and weak, we say to ourselves, Christ Jesus, my Lord. He is with me. He uses us for His glory. Pray that for this week, this month and year. Lord, use me in my life for Your glory. Christ Jesus, our Lord. He increases our joy. The more we know Him, the more we love Him, day by day and year by year, that is what He is doing for us. My dear friends, what do you think of your present life? What do you say to yourself about your present life? What's the great fact of it? Christ Jesus, your Lord. That's what matters. That's what strengthens you. Christ Jesus, my Lord, because of who Christ Jesus is, because of what Christ Jesus did for us, because of what Christ Jesus is doing for us. How many of you can guess the last point? Nearly everybody, I hope. Because of what Christ Jesus will do for us. It's not a complicated series of headings. Because of what Christ Jesus will do for us. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He will come again in person into this world. In Matthew 24:30, with these words, there will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Let's leave the non-Christians aside. We're thinking at this point of Christians. Christians alone. And in 1 Corinthians 15:22, Paul says, in Christ, all shall be made alive. At His coming, those who belong to Christ Everybody will be raised from the dead. Everybody will be changed, glorified. Everybody will be united with our undying souls. And you and I will be forever, forever and forever because of what Christ will do for us. And we'll pass through final judgment. And we will be accepted perfectly because of Christ. And we will find ourselves in a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And we will enter a life in fullness and freshness, in glory and beauty. And we will live forever with all the believers of history, all the human beings whom God has brought into heaven, with all the holy angels, and with God Himself at the center. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. His servants will worship Him. They will see His face. His name will be in their foreheads. The Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. You will meet again forever all the Christians you've loved who've been taken from you. You will meet forever the Christians of future generations whom we never meet on this earth. And there's so much more we could say about eternity in heaven. But our time this morning is almost gone. And even if I were to preach for a week, if I could, it might just seem like a week, but it would still only be a beginning. It would only be a beginning. We know so little. If we understood everything written in the Bible about heaven, we would only know a tiny, tiny fragment. And through all eternity, forever and ever, we will discover more and more that is wonderful and beautiful and glorious and filling us with joy. Far beyond anything we could now grasp. That's God's future for you. Heaven. I don't know how much we'll quote Bible verses in heaven. But how often could we quote this text? The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is the last Sabbath of my formal pastoral ministry here. But can each one of us say, Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's what I long for. Dear friends, if we can say that, we will never really be separated. We'll be together always. We'll be united for the rest of life. And we will be united forever and forever in eternity. All one. All together.
in Christ Jesus our Lord. What could we be happier for today? What a happy reality. I hope not too many of you are cheering inside and saying, "He's going away." And some of you are a bit upset. Don't. We should, Lord and I shouldn't be, you shouldn't be. We're together. We're in Christ forever. We're never going to be separated. Knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. May it become more and more true of us from day to day. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, how we thank you for your love and kindness, for your mercy, and for your salvation to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he is, and for throughout eternity we can come to know him better and better, for all that he has done for us. How we can trust it more today and love it more and more forever and ever. For all that he is doing for us today and tomorrow, here in this place this morning and throughout this day, we thank you, Lord. And for all that Christ will do for us to all eternity. And Lord, we pray for any adults, for any young people, for boys and girls who do not yet even know Christ as their Savior, that in your time, perhaps even today, some of them may be brought to faith. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.